It's a great start today. We're going to be starting Hilchas Lulav, Siman Tov Resh Mem Hei, which is a fascinating area of halacha. I don't like to use the term pet subject, but it's really what it is. It's a really, really fascinating area of halacha. The Gadim writes somewhere that there is a lot of people who learn it, but there's very few people who actually understand it. And it's very true, because it's not just a matter of learning halacha, it's also you need to actually see it. You need to be able to see it. You need to be able to see it, to know exactly what we're talking about. So they over here, the Dish, has done a really excellent, I must say, really an outstanding job with the pictures, which are really, really brilliant pictures. And it's extremely, extremely helpful if we're talking about scenarios and cases. They've really done, it really is brilliant. They've done a great job. You can see they've done it with a lot of thought. Really, really love thought, and I'm highly recommending to use it. It's really, really brilliant. Yes, please. Right, can I just start with something that happened? It wasn't this year, it was a while ago. Somebody came and he actually wanted to buy Dalet Minim. And then he was looking for an Esek. And I showed him a couple of Esek, and this Esek, and he didn't like this one. And he was looking around for a long, long time. Does he like this? Doesn't like this Esek? Doesn't like that Esek? And he didn't. Until I had put aside, there was one Esek, which had a big shiloh on that Esek. I had a shiloh. To me, it was a Sofek Chosa, and I didn't want to have anything. I thought it was a very questionable Esek. And then he somehow got hold of that Esek. It was on the side. He looks at it, and he says, oh, now this is a beautiful Esek. So it's really important to learn the halachos, know a little bit. Right. Okay, so let us start a little bit. Seif Aleph and Beis are not that noigea. It's mainly Seif Gimel that is going to be really, really noigea with regards to our contemporary lulavim. I must point out something which is very, very evident from the poskim as well. The previous generations, it was very, very hard to get hold of Dalet Minim. We're going to be seeing that sometimes, as we spoke about in the past, well, there was one Esek for the whole village, very often, and sometimes you had villages that didn't have an Esek at all, and therefore the shyness came up that were really, really just such a, you know, they found something was sort of a bit remote or similar to an Esek, and they want to know if they can make a brach on that and they can use it or not. Now, there's such an abundance of a soigim. Many of the shilas that were in previous generations are not really relevant nowadays anymore. Now, on the other hand, every year, we're trying to upgrade our hidurim a little bit. Things which in previous generations were never really a shila, nowadays are commonplace, everybody's makpid on. And things which were considered a while ago big chumras, nowadays, it's like a standard basic halacha. It's really interesting how the chumras are just getting increased, and you can really see that it's every year the basics, the last year's chumras are this year's basics. It's really interesting, which of course in a way is achshir adore, and it's beautiful to see. But at the same time, it's very important to know what is the main halacha. We're going to get quite a shock when we get to Seif Gimel. So let's get there, but let's just start out with introduction. The Mishneh Berurah is written a bit of an introduction over here. There's a couple of chidushim in that, so I'd like to go through it. It's on the top of the page in this edition over here, which is an introduction before Seif Aleph. Let's go through that before we start the Shulchan Aruch. Okay, Ksiv Batoira. It's an introduction by the Mishneh Berurah. Beginning of Siman Tov Resh Mem Hei. Ksiv Batoira, it says in the Torah, V'lekachtem lochem, and you take to yourselves, B'yoy Marishon, on the very first day. So the Gemara discusses what's the first day referring to exactly. It's not the first day of the month. It's not the first day of the year. In fact, it's the 15th day of the month. So what does that mean? So the Gemara already explains that it's talking about the first day that you can actually do Averis, because Rishon Lecheshbon Avonos, the first day that you can do Averis, because on Yom Kippur all the Averis are rubbed off. There's no Averis left. So from the 15th, it's the first opportunity to do Averis. Before that, you can't do Averis. That's why it's called Rishon Lecheshbon Avonos. That's why it's called V'lekachtem Lochem. You should take yourself B'yom Rishon on the very first day. That's what the Gemara says. Yeah, of course, what's very interesting is what's between the 11th and the 15th. What, you can't do Averis in the 11th of the 15th?
Too busy.
That's right. That's exactly what the Torah says in the name of the Medrash. That people are too busy preparing themselves for the mitzvahs of Dalet Minim and of Sukkah, to put up the Sukkah and to look for, to search for Dalet Minim. Therefore, people are too busy to do Averis. Which, of course, is very interesting for various reasons, because sometimes people have the approach that, I'm not going to spend so much time on Dalet Minim. I'm not going to spend so much time on the Sukkah. It's a waste of time. We're learning now, it's evident from this Medrash, in this Torah, that it's very much a mitzvah. It's an intrinsic mitzvah. We saw in previous simon that there was even a tzad to make a bracha on the building of the sukkah. So it's not just a way to get to the mitzvah. It's, in fact, it's very much a part of the mitzvah to get yourself ready for the Yom Tov, to have your dalet minim ready, to have your sukkah built put up. It's actually very much a mitzvah. And that's why rishon is considered yom rishon. Continues the Mishneh Bura. V'lakachtem lechem b'yom rishon pri etzada. Which literally means pre a fruit, a tzada, of a beautiful tree. The kapa is tmorim, and the kapa is tmorim, which is referring to dates. Dates. The anaf eight avos. We're gonna explain that. The anaf eight avos. The av enochal, which kibul chazal, and these are all the chachomim had the kabbalah, the mesora, that what it means is the following: the pre eight tzada, the words of pre eight tzada zeu esek, it's an esek, which is very important. Shadam eight of a period shover, which is the eight of a period shover. They have the same taste. The eight so it's wood, and it's fruit have the same time, the same taste. Now, this is a bit controversial what that actually means, but the bottom line, what we need to take from this Mishneh Berurah is that the Gemara said that Pri Eitz Hadar is referring to Esek. In other words, if you find another very beautiful fruit, say you find some exotic fruit which looks really beautiful and tastes beautiful, you can't just say that's the Pri Eitz Hadar, and that's a beautiful fruit. You can't, obviously, it goes according to the Kabbalah Mesor of Chachomim. V'ksiv hodah, sheyeh noeh, it says hodah, beautiful, sheyeh noeh, it has to be beautiful, v'hodah, betoroi, v'giduloi, it has to look beautiful. Pri etz hodah, it must look beautiful. V'al derech sheizbar b'simen tof resh memches, and as the halachas are explained in simen tof resh memches. V'lefi shekol elu abo minim, ksuv in posuk echot. Since all those four minim are brought in one posuk, l'meidim zem esei, we learn from one another, just as the esrog has to be noe, has to be mehuda, has to be beautiful, since it's written in the same pasuk, all the remaining three meaning also they have to be beautiful. Come on, and all the hidurim that I explain later, what exactly, how you mehanda, how are you going to have a mehuda diga esrog, how are you going to have a mehuda diga lulav, all that is explained in the halachas. Kapo is tzmorim. Now, what does kapo is tzmorim mean? Kapo is tzmorim is anfei ilon. These are the branches of the tree. Shegedelim bo tzmorim, that dates grow on it. So again, kapo is tzmorim has intrinsically to do with dates. There have to be tzmorim, dates growing on an olive tree. Sheitzmechu, when it grows, kodim sheizkashu olin shalahem, before the branches get dried and hard, veizrachkul mekan, lekan rochim min hashad, before it distance, we're going to see if Aleph is talking about that. That if you can't have a type of lulav that its branch, that its leaves are separate and are distant from one another, that's a problem. Elok shiki kmo sharvet, it has to be like the king's, what's that called? The king's scepter. Thank you very much. It has to be like a scepter. Vehu hanikol lulav, and that is a lulav. A lulav has to be by definition like a sharvit, like a scepter. Vanaf eitz ovois hu hadas, and the definition of anaf eitz ovois, we're going to talk a lot more about that in the later simon. Anaf eitz ovois is referring to hadasim sheolav chayfin is eitz ovois, that its leaves cover its wood. That's the definition of hadas, that its leaves cover up the branch. The part of his bar is in Tofresh. Moreover, that is discussed in Tofresh. Moreover, Avinachal is bar is in Tofresh. Mizan, what that Arovazal, that's explained in Simon Tofresh. Mizan. Okay, these are the definitions. So we're learning that they are learned from the Pasuk that you need to have an Esrek. Prietzoto means Esrek. Kapo is Tmori means Lulav. And Arvinachal is the Arovaz. And Anaf Eitz Ovois is the Hadassim. I just want to point out one thing, which is a bit of a controversy. What happens if you've got a lulav? The Mishneh Berurah doesn't talk about that. What happens if you've got a lulav tree? Now, a lulav tree is really basically a palm tree, and you've got some palm trees that there is no dates growing on them. Imagine you have that. A palm tree, there's no dates growing on that particular tree. Say, it grows in a cold country. So in cold, you have a palm tree that grows in a fairly cold country. So if the weather is not quite right, there is going to be branches growing, but there's no dates going to be growing there. If you find the beautiful lulav out of there, would you be able to use it or not? Yes. It's got a potential. You don't physically need to have dates growing there. Although the pasuk says kappa is tamarim. Nevertheless, you don't actually physically need to have kappa tamarim there.
But didn't the pasuk say that it specifically had to have?
Very good.
Growing from it. So therefore, how would it be mutter if it didn't have?
Right. Yeah, I hear the machlokes achronim over here. And the truth is, there is a machlokes achronim, and they're basically saying your points. The consensus of the poskim, however, is that if that particular tree is a species of tree that is growing, that just doesn't have dates growing, it's okay. If that species of tree, that type of tree, would be able to grow dates elsewhere, it's fine. So you don't have to physically look for tamarim. If it potentially could grow tomorrow. Now, there is types of, there's palm trees that don't grow at all. There's types of palm trees that don't grow tomorrow. And that's really much more controversial. And that is a bit of a shaila. And that probably, that we refrain from using. But generally speaking, if there is, if it could potentially grow, and for some reason it's not growing, dates, then it's fine. It's kosher for lulav. Okay, Sif Aleph. Lulav shenifredu olav. Ze me'al ze. If you've got a lulav that its leaves are distanced one another, veloni daldalu, ka'ala achariyos, and it's a bit like alachiyos. Now, alachiyos is a type of tree, and the point of the alachiyos is that they're very, very distanced. All the leaves, they're like spread out. Very distant. They're very spread out. Have you ever seen such a lulav? So if you've got a lulav that looks like that, that the leaves are very, very spread out, it's the opposite of a sharvit, it's the opposite of a scepter, but on the contrary, it's like spreading out, looking a bit more like a broomstick type of thing, then kosher afidoloi ogdoi. It's kosher afidoloi ogdoi. Even if you didn't tie it together, it's actually kosher. Now, it does say, and that's really important, mikol moke, mitzah mina mufcha, but the Ramah says over here, and that's taka important lalocha. Mitzvah min hamufcha, you should try to take a lulav which is not spread out at all. It's not spread out, but it's very, very straight. And I'm not referring to the straight back, I'm referring to the fact that the leaves are not spreading out. So that's the first lalocha we're learning. Mitzvah min hamufcha, although if it's a bit loose, it's fine. But if it's ideally mint and mufra, try to take one that is as joint as possible. Now, this over here, I need to point out the Mishneh Berurah over here and discuss a shaila. The Mishneh Berurah over here, can I just point out the last line? It goes a bit of a discussion into a task. I just want to have the last line also of the Mishneh Berurah Sifkot and Gimel. The Mishneh Berurah says, V'datom, it just brings a couple of achronim, that's how he's machia. Their opinion of those achronim, Kestim HaSaramo, is like the Ramo. The Lemitle Min HaMufcha, for Mitzvah HaMufcha, Yesh Leizoi, one should be careful, Shiloi Lita Lechatchila Lulav, you should not take a lulav only, Elem Kein Shoich Min Olav, Ze Al Ze, V'loi Litzdod. You need to have the leaves resting on each other, v'loli tzlani, not to its side. So we've got over here a definition of the Mishneh Berurah, how you're going to have a Mishneh Berurah, how you're going to have a lulav that is mutzah min hamufcha, that you should take it in a way that it's shoichvin, that it's lying on the leaves are lying on each other as opposed to spreading out. Now, what happens if you've got a lulav that, if you hold it like this, it's spreading out a little bit, it's very, very common. Imagine you've got a lulav. It's maybe a little bit similar to that picture over here, number 7. But maybe a bit like that, not sure. But I'm not going that when you hold it straight like this, it's opening up a little bit. If you don't have the rings yet, it's opening up a little bit. But when you're putting it down on a table or so, or when you shake it a little bit like this, it's all going to be okay. It's all going to be touching each other. When you put it on the table, it's going to be touching each other. It's going to be nicely together. It's just that when you hold it straight, that it opens up a little bit. Is that mitzvah min hamufcha? Is that ideal way of fulfilling the mitzvah or not? So I'm not thinking if it's like, you know, like really opened up. I'm not talking about that. I know it's not mitzvah min hamufcha. I don't know if it's just a tiny bit, and when you're putting it on the table, it's going to be joined. Is that mitzvah min hamufcha or is it not so good? Should you try to avoid such a lulav, or can you take a lechatchila? What would you say? Question make sense. I know that, but yeah, but it's fine. I just want to fulfill the ideal lulav.
What happened like in the 6, 7, 8 day?
Yeah. Good.
What happened then?
Good. So that is a good point as well. What's going to happen after using it a few days? What's going to happen b'chol ha-moed? Okay, it's a good point. It's a good point because you're right. It will deteriorate in quality over the days. You're quite right. I'll tell you why I'm saying that. I use this expression of putting it on the table because I've included my answer for that. The poskim agree that if you've got a lulav, that if you're putting it on the table, it's going to be nicely joined. That, according to most, if not all opinions, that is considered a lulav which is mitzvah minah mufcha. You don't need to look for a lulav that goes absolutely like this and on the top goes everything looking inside. You don't have to go that far. Even a lulav, that when you're putting it on the table, all the leaves are going to be touching each other, that is considered a mitzvah minah mufcha. And I can tell you, most lulavim, which are marketed nowadays, not all, but a majority of lulavim you're going to find in the shops have got that. Are included in that mitzvah minah mufcha. It's rare, not rare. So I'm exaggerating if I'm saying rare. But many, many lulavim, the majority of the lulavim, when you're lifting them up, they may be a little bit open up, but when you're putting it on the table, they're going to be completely nicely. Do you know what I mean? When the leaves are going to be lying on each other. Do you know what I mean? And then it's fine. So you need to have quite an extreme lulav. It's like really stretching it into different directions. That's going to be a problem. Otherwise, you're going to have mitzvah minah mufcha anyway. Does that make sense? Yeah? Seif beis. That's not so common, but let's see that anyway. Nifutzu olav. We're talking about already nifutzu. What does nifutzu mean? It's disconnected already. You've got leaves disconnected to some extent or to a large extent, disconnected, cut off, as it were, from the lulav. So it says as follows. The Gemara says, it doesn't go up with the shedra to the mouth. They're dangling down. So they are like loose a bit. They're dangling down. Imagine a lulav with dangling down leaves. Have you ever seen such a thing? They're not shipped. They're tluinim, they're dangling down. Then that's possible. So if you're picking up a lulav and you see the leaves are like dangling down, well, I think that most people would actually put it back in the box. No? You wouldn't like start, oh, how much is this? Yeah? So now we've got it black and white. It's actually possible. The kol shekein, and even more so, im nifritzu, v'nekol emato min ha-shedra, the posel afilo agodon. If it's completely cut off, and you're trying, imagine somebody's trying to still sell it for £40 and they're completely cut off and he's tying it with a string. They're cut off and he's tying it with a string. He said, do you want this? I'll make a good price for that. It's half the price for this one. So he said, that's definitely possible. The kolchkinim niskasho olin ke'etz. And even Moses says, Ramo, if it's very, very hard, the leaves are extremely hard, dry, like wood, proper wood, and you can't connect them to the shadra, it's possible. So that's a different scenario. That's you've got a lulav, that the leaves are like from 2 years ago. It's a lulav from 2 years ago. I kept the lulav from 2 years ago, and they get really dry, and you won't be able to. He's talking about a case that you can't actually get them back onto the shadra. They're just like spreading out, and you can't get them together. That's also possible. But again, would you tweak such a lulav? If you see it, you put it back there. So he says, you can't get them to touch the shadr anymore. Possible, it's possible. All that we have said now is with the majority of the leaves. If you only got some leaves like that, but the remaining leaves are still fine. So he says that if you've got the majority of the leaves, which are still fine, and you only got a couple of leaves sticking out from the side, which are really dry, or are disconnected, or a few leaves on the side which are like that, it's actually fine. Only majority of the leaves are disconnected, or the majority of the leaves are dried out, or something like that, that's going to be a problem. Okay, but these kinds of lulav, we don't really see that often. Okay, now I want to get to Seif Gimel, and Seif Gimel is really noegea, because that's probably the most important thing we need to look out for when we get a lulav. Okay, but I need to describe a little bit how a lulav grows. And because the Shulchan Aruch describes it as well, so let me just introduce the concept a little bit. A lulav, when a lulav grows, the main point of a lulav is that it's got double leaves. So it grows, you've got lots of leaves. You've got the shedra. Shedra is the backbone of the lulav, which is hard. It's like basically wood. And then from the side, you've got double leaves growing. What do I mean a double leaf? A double leaf is that if you pull it off, you'd have literally, if I can show it with my fingers, can you come for a minute? Okay, if this is, can I just pretend this is a leaf, yeah? Because it's just easier for me. Can you do it like this? Okay, the leaves, every single one of the leaves is something which is open on one side and connected on the other side. Does that make sense? Can you close it? So it's everyone, if this is the shed, this is the backbone of the lulav, you're going to have lots of leaves coming. One leaf, two leaves, three leaves, four leaves, etc., etc. And every leaf of those is a double leaf. What I mean a double leaf? That it's got literally two leaves, which is, it's one on one side, it's open. Open up a little bit. And on the other side is closed. You can just, if you cut this off, then you could take this, and then you can just open it up like this. Do you know what I'm referring to? Yeah? This is called double leaf. That's what I'm, thank you very much. This is called the double leaf. Everyone, well done, yeah. Everyone is a double leaf. Like this is double leaf. Now the point is, and that's really what's a bit confusing, that every one of them is a double leaf. And from the shedra, which is the backbone of the lulav, you're going to have one, they're all, it's always an equal number. Well, not always, but you're going to have, besides the top one, which is the top one, which is the one exactly growing from the backbone. The backbone, which is called the shedra. Shedra means in Ivrit, right? In Ivrit, the shedra is the? The spine, that's right. The spine. It's called the shedra, it means the spine. From the spine, if you keep on looking, they're all growing out. Besides the top one, which is literally growing out from the shedra, that's called the tioimus. And that is the double leaf that is growing right up from the spine, from the shedra. That is called the double leaf. Now that, again, like all the other ones, is a double leaf. They're all, and that one growing out, that is called the tioimus. That is called the tioimus. We're going to see these other opinions, but I just want to present the case a little bit before we start. That is called the tioimus. So just, let's just have it clear. Does that make sense? I see them. I wasn't so... Back the shedra, which is the... And then every leaf coming out is a double leaf. Double leaf, which is open on one side. It's two leaves, really. And they're connected. And the top one, growing out of the spine, is called the tioimus. Okay, let's see that inside. This mamash, I was just quoting the Shulchan Aruch. Seif Gimel. Brias... Ha'alin, Brias Alin, Shalulav Kachu, the way the leaves of the lulav grow, Kachu is as follows. Sheheim Gidelim, when they grow, Gidelim, Shnaim Shnaim, they grow 2-2, Vedvukim Megabon, and they are connected on its back, on their backs. Vegav Shel Shnei Alin, Hu Anikat Yoimes, and the back of, the back of the two leaves, this is one opinion, we're going to get to that. Who are Nikat James? That's called the Tioimus. Okay, now I'm just going to explain the first opinion. Nechlekat Tioimus, if the Tioimus is split, and I look at those two words are coming up now, Beroy for Alin, if the Tioimus is split with most leaves, now this opinion holds over here, unlike what I said now. I said, and that's how we're going to be paskening shortly, that the top one growing out of the shadow, that is called the tioimus. We're not with that opinion yet. This opinion we're saying now is that holds the tioimus is actually all the double leaves are considered the tioimus. And only if you've got the majority of the double leaves which are split, only that is considered the psul of nechleko tioimus. So, to say it to rephrase that, we all agree there's a psul of nechlekat yoimus. Nechlekat yoimus, if you've got that double leaf, which is split, so instead of being completely connected, which would be like this, completely connected, it's a little bit open up like this. It's a little bit open up. So that's called nechlekat yoimus. But this opinion I hold, that it's not, if one of them is disconnected, it doesn't matter. If two of them are slightly open up, disconnected is the wrong word, I suppose. It's open up, right? If it's a bit open, if it's one of them is open up a bit, doesn't matter. If three of them are open up, doesn't matter. Only if you've got the roiv, the majority of the leaves coming out of the shedra, if those are open up, then that's the psul of nechlekat yoimus. So imagine, if you turn back to the earlier page, by picture number 7, imagine over here, imagine, this is the lulav, look at the picture number 7, not number 6, number 7 is very clear. Can you see all the double leaves sticking out from the shedra? Can you see all the double leaves? So imagine, There isn't 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. You've got 11 on each side. 11 double leaves coming out from each side. Can you see the picture? Do you mind if I... It's on page... you've got 11 double leaves coming from each side. Did I count right? Yeah? So if you've got 11... Now, according to this opinion, you've got 22. If one of them is open slightly, doesn't matter. If three of them are... What's the majority of 22, please? Any good? Anybody strong at math? Okay, thank you. So if you need to have 12 of those leaves, 12 of them, doesn't matter each side, according to most poskim, 12 needs to be open up. But you need to have majority. 12 of those leaves need to be open up. Only then it's got the psula of nechleko atyoimus. Now I'm asking you, according to this opinion, have you ever seen Apostle Lulav? Have you ever seen Apostle Lulav? No. No. You won't find Apostle Lulav. You will just not find Apostle Lulav of Nechleko Atyoimus. You won't find Apostle Lulav. So that's this opinion. Then it's possible. The Mishnah Berurah says adds even more, which is about the scum of the point. Nobody agrees to that, but the Mishnah Berurah passes if cotton yud aleph, beroiv alin, veroiv kol ole ve'ole. How much does it need to go down? It needs to go down the majority. So if it's just a little bit open, of those 12 that open up, they need to go down right across to the middle. Right across. Only then it's going to be possible. So if it's a little bit open up on the side, it doesn't matter. All the 12 of those 22 need to be opened up to their majority. Only then you've got a psal. Yeah. Is it doesn't really matter, according to that opinion, it doesn't matter which side. You could be either side.
If you've got 12 on one side, that's only a quarter.
Why is that? Oh yeah, you need to count all of them. You'll need to count all of them and have a majority of that.
20, so it'd be... Ah, I see, 12.
Yeah. So this is just an example that based on this picture over here, but you'll have to take account. Right, okay. This is not the way we paskin. We're going to see soon. It's not mamash the way we paskin, although it's many rishonim hold like that. We'll carry on tomorrow, Mitzvah Shem, from the rest, where it gets the halacha lemaisa, how we paskin, as we'll continue Mitzvah Shem tomorrow. Okay.